This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs. Thanks for joining us for this episode of LabCast. I'm here with Mike Volpe, VP of Inbound Marketing at HubSpot, which is a Cambridge-based company right across the water from us. So welcome, Mike. We're excited to have you.
Thanks. Totally happy to be here.
Great. So HubSpot is known for their incredible inbound marketing tactics. And I'd just like for you to explain to our audience inbound marketing kind of at a high level.
Yeah. So inbound marketing is all the marketing techniques that you use to attract people into your business. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to maybe think about it is that in contrast to outbound marketing, so traditionally, you know, as a company, you maybe did things like television or print advertisements, or you did cold calling or direct mail, all those techniques where you're trying to get into someone's face and sort of distract and in some ways annoy them. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you would do, and those are outbound marketing. But there's so many ways today to block those things out. So you've got caller ID in your phone, and right. I know I don't answer my calls unless someone has pre-scheduled a conference call with me, mm-hmm. or I know which number's calling me. You know, you're blocking out things using spam filters. So you've got all these ways to block out all this communication. And so inbound marketing is a collection of techniques, including, you know, creating content, blogging, using social media, using search engine optimization, all those things put together into a strategy to attract more people to you when they're ready to buy from you in sort of a less annoying and less intrusive kind of way.
And you, when you're working on your inbound marketing strategy, it seems that the most important thing would be to figure out your target first and figure out what tactics would work best to address their pain points. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's really right. I think that you know, one of the things we talk about a lot is understanding your buyer persona, mm-hmm. And that's really important. And some companies may have a couple of them,
right.
But understanding who that person is or who those people are, and then thinking about all of your content from their point of view. So just like you guys do, this is really interesting, mm-hmm. that you're creating content that targets these senior management teams at these expansion stage companies,
right?
And you're trying
mm-hmm.
to think about from their point of view, what's the content that they're interested in, mm-hmm. not necessarily what you want to tell them,
right?
Which would be, oh, how awesome we are, mm-hmm. and how many investments we've made, and
right.
how we think about things. You're thinking about content from their point of view. So I think every company needs to think about who is their buyer persona, mm-hmm. and what is the content that's going to be interesting to them, and what are the channels in terms of social media and search engines that they use, and those are the channels that, again, you should think about, you know, publicizing your content through.
Mm-hmm. And do you see a lot of common mistakes when people are implementing an inbound marketing strategy, whether it be talking about yourself too much or not doing enough research ahead of time?
Yeah, I think you really hit on the big one. I think the big mistake people make is maybe not understanding that buyer persona and then talking about themselves too much. So many, I think most technology companies at least know that they should be blogging, and most, you know, sort of co-founders or founding teams start a blog early
mm-hmm.
on.
Right.
But I think too often they blog about themselves,
right?
Which is interesting to one segment of the community,
mm-hmm.
people that are, you know, sort of startup junkies and investors and things like that. And if you're selling to those folks, maybe that's an interesting blog to start.
Mm-hmm.
But for the vast, the vast majority of folks, that's something where they're not going to be super interested in that content.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really an interesting observation. And I think that I see that a lot too when I'm monitoring, you know, different tech companies or different VC firms. I see a lot of content about, you know, this is how great we are. Look at how this audience has used our product to better themselves, which I think there's a place for that. You know, a case study maybe about, you know, how you work well with your customers or something like that. You know, there's obviously a place for talking about your product, but it's definitely not in your weekly blogs or your podcasts or your videos.
And I think maybe much later in your development, companies can develop this fan base and a little bit of a following.
Right.
And once you've done that, then I think blogging a little bit more about yourself is almost acceptable and really encouraged by your audience.
Mm-hmm.
I know that at HubSpot, you know, we're four and a half years old. And in the past sort of 6 to 12 months, we've started to blog a little bit more about our own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that content's been very well received by our audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think had we done that in our first 6 or 12 months, we never would have grown the audience to the size that we have today.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where over time, I mean, certainly people would love to hear more blog articles from Twitter about what's happening within Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think they would have cared about that in, you know, early 07 when those guys got started.
Yeah, that's a good observation. So obviously, HubSpot has a ton of inbound marketing going on all the time. What would you say your key channels are?
I'll highlight maybe two of our key channels mm-hmm. that sort of maybe highlight different aspects of inbound marketing. So the first one I'll highlight is Website Grader. And what I think is great about Website Grader is you can go to websitegrader.com and type in your URL, and you get a custom report back about your website, what you're doing right and wrong, mm-hmm. And it's custom to you. So what's great about that is by using some software and some engineering investment, mm-hmm. we're able to create this engine that's instantly spitting out custom content to anyone who visits it.
That's great.
And people share that, and they email those reports around, so it's very active within social media. So that's definitely, I think, one of the things that's worked really well for us. The second one would definitely be our blog. We've grown our blog to one of the largest marketing blogs. It's got over 40,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I think that having that as a channel and sort of thinking about yourself and your company as your own media agency is another important way to think about it. So I'd say for us, those are probably our two bigger channels. And again, one is, you know, video and text content primarily yep. mm-hmm. that we create using, you know, a typical sort of marketing type of talent. And another one was very much sort of engineering or software driven. But both of them are really, really effective inbound marketing channels for us.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't think that when you typically think about inbound marketing, you think about, you know, developing a software product like that. And I think that's a really interesting angle to look at. And I think that's something that I'm going to go to after this meeting to see, you know, how we stack up on Website Grader. That seems really like a really cool tool. So obviously when we talk about marketing, everybody wants to know results, especially our audience of listeners now who are, you know, senior managers of software companies. Results are paramount. What have your results been at HubSpot?
Yeah. So, I mean, at a high level, you know, when I started the company, there were five of us. We had about 10 customers that were all sort of, you know, alpha testing customers.
Wow.
We've grown since then to over 3,600 customers. We've got 200 employees. You know, our revenue run rate is over, you know, well in excess of $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is primarily based on inbound marketing. So,
right.
You know, the vast majority of our marketing is all inbound. And what's that has enabled us to do is attract people at a much lower cost. So our cost of customer acquisition is really low.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables us to keep our prices relatively low, which again also helps you attract more customers. So
right.
I think if we had gotten started, you know, using primarily, you know, Google AdWords mm-hmm. and other types of online advertising, it would have been a lot harder for us to make our entire business model work. So in some ways, inbound marketing is very much ingrained in what we do. And it's, you know, even today, even when we've grown so much, we've had to explore some other channels. Inbound mm-hmm. marketing is still 80% of mm-hmm. what we do in terms of lead generation and generating sales, versus most companies, I think, have somewhat of an inbound channel, but it's usually 5 or 10% of what they do. So
right.
I think most companies need to flip that entirely on its head.
Yeah. And what is the other 20%? I know when I've Googled you guys in the past, there is some paid search. What else are you guys doing for an outbound marketing perspective?
Yeah, so there's definitely we've tried a few things. So and some of them do still work. Again, these outbound marketing techniques, as long as they don't work at all,
right,
it's
definitely.
Just you need to incorporate them into your overall mix. And I think you always want to be looking at it almost like you're managing a portfolio of investments. And that means that you're investing most in the ones that are giving you the best payoff. And for us, inbound marketing has this much, much better payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we invest the vast majority of what we're doing in there. But for the outbound marketing that we do some paid search. And that's one where it's kind of a gray area because you're mm-hmm. paying to be there.
Right.
And so you're paying for every click, but certainly it's a search-driven thing. So there's some element of inbound
to that
one. So it's kind of,
either.
Yeah, exactly. And so we absolutely do some paid search. But we also do some display ads.
Mm-hmm.
We found a few sites where we can make the economics work. And like some, you know, sponsorships of some emails and online communities and things like that.
Yeah.
It's all very direct response driven.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a couple small event sponsorships and things like that. But we don't do any trade show booths or advertising at events like
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay.
So we never send salespeople to events or have a booth at trade shows. We certainly don't do any print advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, you know, haven't done any. There's no Super Bowl ads coming down the road either. So there's a lot of things that we're avoiding. Yeah, it would be fun to do a Super Bowl ad.
Wouldn't
but
it?
Yeah.
Maybe
I
next
would,
year.
I would, well, yeah, I'd spend my entire budget in one day. So I guess,
easily,
you know,
probably.
After the end of January, I'd have nothing to do the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, that's one way to go about it, I guess. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike. In our next podcast, we'll talk to you a little bit about how you can implement all of these at a very low level at an expansion stage company. So check back with us next week for that.